Turb Alpert, the T1 of Branson, Carson Sestouli. This is Fangraphs Audio. My guest on this edition of Fangraphs Audio is a contributor to Bullpen Banter and of late to the pages of Rotographs. He's also a resident of Cranston, Rhode Island. Famous Cranston, Rhode Island. His name is Al Scarupa. Scarupa has the distinction of being a prospect analyst who is based in New England, and that serves as the foundation for the conversation that follows. I think it's obvious that there's quite a bit of talent, there's quite a bit of baseball talent in this country, in Southern California, for example, Texas, Florida as well, and certainly any other number of warm weather areas. How does following collegiate or prep prospects, though, how does that change when one is based in more of a cold weather region? I encourage Scarupa to meditate on that and related issues in what follows, as I say. So this is it. This is a conversation on Fangraphs Audio with prospect analyst Al Scarupa of famous Cranston, Rhode Island, and it begins right now. Right. Yes. Yeah. And of course, I live in Madison, Wisconsin now, and that same exact thing is happening.
Right.
To us. Yes. So not the greatest time to be outside watching baseball, but also you cover. Of course, you write for Bullpen Banter. You cover quite a bit of in the way of Cape prospects.
I do.
Yeah. So that's why I just thought I just had some questions about that and maybe scouting New England in general, what it's like up there.
Sure. Sounds good.
But let's establish this first. Your surname, I'm going to try it out, and then you will correct me. Is it Scarupa?
Yes, it is.
Scarupa.
Yes, now, just like it looks.
Now, let me hear you say it one time.
Scarupa.
Scarupa, okay, right. And let me clarify this as well. If at any point I ask you a question you don't want to answer, you can just say so.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I don't really have any secrets about amateur ball. So.
Yeah, no, I'm going to pry deep. Watch out. Yeah.
All right.
So you're based, let's get this right. So you're based in, in Rhode Island, near Providence, I guess.
Yep.
Insofar as everything is near.
Yeah, pretty much.
Providence.
Just one town south.
Okay, right, yeah.
And Cranston.
Cranston, right. So I don't necessarily know a ton about Rhode Island, but I being from New Hampshire and having gone to high school in the Boston area, I know it's near there always. I mm-hmm. went to some Pawtucket, Rhode Island games as a younger person. And this may or may not make sense to you, but as a youth, I drank quite a lot of coffee milk.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a thing that comes from where you're. What do you know about coffee milk?
Well, there's two companies, at least. I haven't checked in on this information, but what I was told in elementary school. It's Lincoln and Autocraft, I think. I think that's right. I hope I'm not embarrassing myself as a Rhode Islander here. But, yeah, pretty big deal. Coffee ice cream, too, used to be just a Rhode Island thing, I think, back when my parents were kids, things like that.
Yeah, it's good. Now, have you consumed much in the way of coffee milk and or ice cream as a person?
Yeah, sure. pretty big fan. Haven't done the coffee milk in a while, but it is pretty good.
Yeah, I know that I used to, when I would visit my grandparents, they lived in a town called Weston, just outside Boston.
Yep.
I would go there, we would go to church, and then we would go either to Friendly's or another sort of local diner, and we would have, whatever the,
sure.
Pancakes, waffles, and then I would have coffee milk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I loved it. And I guess if nothing else, I'd be forever indebted to Rhode Island for that sort of thing. Do you know where it came from, though? I mean, did it spring up in Rhode Island, or was it like?
I think so. I don't know the whole history, but it's usually listed as a Rhode Island thing.
Yeah, right.
I think the two companies that made it forever were Rhode Island companies.
Who ended up? Now, is Scarupa, is that Italian?
No, I'm mostly Italian. That's I think it's Polish.
Oh, okay. So who ended up in Rhode Island then? I mean, is it pretty similar to like the layout? I mean, my family's Italian. They ended up in Connecticut. I mean, is it similar, do you think?
Yeah, Rhode Island's pretty much all Italian and Irish.
Okay, yeah.
Everyone's one or the other or both.
Right. But I think it was settled. Is it a place that people went when they were being persecuted in terms of religion in the Boston area. Didn't there was a woman who went down there? Maybe they were Methodists too, or something like this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Blanking on the name. Roger Williams obviously founded the state.
Oh yeah, right. Well, that's not obvious.
Anne Hutchinson.
Anne Hutchinson, right?
Yes.
Are you doing some illicit Googling, Al?
Say it again.
Are you doing some illicit Googling right now?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
I was walking around.
All right. Okay, well, cool. Yeah, so these are all things that this is a brief primer on the state of Rhode Island,
mm-hmm.
which I'll have you know, I lived for some time in Seattle, and when I was in Seattle, I was maybe 20, 21, I had a colleague, or actually a manager, who was of decent intelligence, who really thought Rhode Island was an island and was shocked to learn that it wasn't.
I've gotten that before.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about so I want to get to your interest in the sort of players that you cover or can cover in New England. That all interests me. Do you mind mapping out briefly how you got to that place? You could start with either being a fan or player of baseball. But get us up to Bullpen Bander, et cetera.
Sure. Mostly fan. Just always had an interest in it. Every area of baseball – find interesting. I like to learn more about. I really just have a love for the game. And Josh Sussman, J.D. Sussman, who also writes for Fangraphs now, he just got a kick up there. And a couple other people had approached me about doing a site probably about 4 years ago. And we got into it. As we did it, we did more and more amateurs and minor leaguers. And I found out more and more about it, got into it, started filming some guys around here. And so there was some great opportunity for a lot of stuff that wasn't being fully covered.
Yeah. How did you know Sussman?
We had just talking online a few different sites. He's from the New York area.
Oh, okay.
Talking about baseball, a few different discussions on it, different sites.
And then how did you get to how things started for you was as a commenter? Is this how that sort of worked out?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
And where,
a while back, but yeah.
What were some of your for you? I mean, whether it's on the internet or even before, like what are some foundational texts for you? I mean, for a lot of people with whom I speak.
If you're going towards Bill James, that was a big thing for me. Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. That and Moneyball. I mean, those are important texts for people.
Yeah. I read a lot of those. A lot of baseball books got me very much more interested in the. How the sausage is made part of baseball.
Right. Yeah, so, and sausage is delicious, so why not
learn
about it, right? That's actually an interesting point. While I like to know the inner workings of baseball, I actually am less curious about sausage for fear of what I might find there.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. So you're based in Rhode Island, and so far as scouting is concerned, on a broad level, tell me what are the advantages and disadvantages of your geographic location, especially because I know that you're doing a lot of work on the ground with, in terms of getting video on people and getting your eyes on prospects.
Well, in terms of the spring, it kind of divides the year up into a few different phases. In the spring, I mostly do amateurs and college and high school. There's really – they start kind of early. There's a game, I think the 12th, March 12th they start. So it gets a little nice head start on the minor leagues around here.
Who's that? Who has a game March 12th?
I think Brown and Northeastern are around. I'm actually going to be in Florida, but the colleges and high schools start up. The colleges start up middle of March.
Okay.
High schools probably start around April 1st. So we've got those, and UConn and Boston College are within pretty close reach. And they bring in, obviously, ACC and other big teams coming around.
Right, and, so that's a good point. What it's hard to keep track now, and it's hard to – and I don't know if it's consistent with sports, but you have UConn, BC, and URI. I mean, I saw them play last week. They played
Florida State,
right, and then I think today, we're recording this on Friday, probably have that up on Friday, but this weekend they're playing Ole Miss, I believe.
Yes, they are. Yeah, and, they can face a wall.
But generally, so those are some challenging, obviously those are some challenging non-conference opponents.
There's some other good programs like that around. URI does a good job.
What conferences are they all in, all those teams?
URI is in the Atlantic 10,
okay.
Which is kind of in between a little bit of a mess right now. We'll see what happens with the Big East dissolving. But they got a lot of good teams. VCU just joined their conference, too. It's solid, but there's not, you know, not a lot of top-notch talent in there right now this year. And UConn's still Big East, obviously. We'll see what happens there. That could be pretty interesting. We got some other schools around that do a great job. Bryant is a nice opportunity. They're going to be very good this year. It's another Rhode Island school. New Hampshire, you got Franklin Pierce and Southern New Hampshire, both D2s, but doing a great job.
What is? Can you tell me more about Bryant? Where is that, and what conference are they in?
They're in the Northeast Conference, I think. They're located in the north of the state, Smithfield, I think. And it's just another school. They've been pretty aggressive. About 10 years ago, I think they were D3, but they moved up, and they've got a few guys on the radar. Top 100 college guys next couple of years. Their Friday night starter did a great job on the Cape. I think he was third or fourth in strikeouts, Craig Schlitter, and they had one of the best freshman arms in the Northeast, Kevin McAvoy, last year too.
Oh, that's really exciting, and so that's nice for you, I assume.
Yeah, it's a nice easy draft.
Yeah, right. And so who now is Bryant generally a team? Pardon my ignorance, but is Bryant generally a team that you would foresee this year as sort of dominating that, or that?
I think they're picked to win the conference.
Okay.
It's the same conference as Stony Brook, though, and they're still pretty good, obviously, after their nice World Series run last year.
Right, Stony Brook, right. They were one of these sort of, I don't know if they were entirely Cinderella-esque, but skewing towards that. Right.
99% sure on that. Now I am doing some...
Illicit Googling.
Illicit, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, yeah, we don't have to get every single fact right.
Sure.
But now tell me something about this. Now, you've talked a little bit about going to see teams, high schools, and actually I have a couple questions about high schools too. But generally speaking, do you sense that seeing guys play in the north, where I'm going to, you know, weather is more of a factor – are there any adjustments you make mentally so far as notes you're going to make about them?
Well, in terms of especially prep kids, high school kids, you find they're not as physically developed, and they don't have the Florida-California kids, comparatively, they play baseball all year round. So it's a big little bit of a talent gap and catching up. You see a lot more late bloomers. And it's something, you know, people around here try to keep in mind when they're evaluating talent.
Well, it's difficult, right? So, I mean, notably, Mike Trout, who, you know, you could
say... That's a good example.
Right. In, you know, two years, 3 years, has become the best player in all of baseball, you know, more or less. I think either he or Miguel Cabrera, one or the other, has the highest IPs projection this year, which is, you know, of course, it's silly, right? Because he's just 21 years old.
Yeah. Any projection for Trout's... Right. There's no comparables at all. He's going to be way off the map, you know?
Right, yeah. Yeah, I don't know what you do with a guy who puts up a 10-win season as a 20-year-old. I mean, I feel sorry for, you know, Dan Zimborski having to project that, because you can't project someone above 10 wins. That's not right.
Right.
There are reasons to think that Mike Trout won't be a 10-win player again this year, but I think he's projected at 8, which is still, even putting that projection, putting 8 wins on a guy, I would feel a little bit hesitant to do that, but you know, he's obviously proven himself. But so here's the point, you know, Trout went in the 20s somewhere, right? And I guess is like, if you're looking at a player, I mean, what would scouts have seen in Mike Trout that would have made them say, let's pick him in the 20s as opposed to he's going to be the best player in baseball in 3 years?
I mean, there's two teams famously did have him, I think, second on the draft board. I think the Angels and Yankees, right? That's the story they always tell, at least. And, I mean, it's really a case of just, I think, people maybe not seeing him at his best because all the people around here, scouts, et cetera, loved him. You know, there weren't too many questions. Sometimes it's just a matter of price for Northeast kids. Like Rhett Wiseman was Massachusetts High School kid last year, outfielder. Incredible athlete.
What high school is he at?
He went to Buckingham, Brown & Nichols.
Sure, BB&N.
Yep, in Cambridge. And sometimes it's just a matter of the price. You can get more of a sure thing if you're shopping in Texas, California, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, the Northeast kids don't want to take a discount, obviously. But they haven't got a chance to see them as much against high-level competition. Whereas if you see a kid in California, every week he's playing some other very high-level draftees.
So you have to be pretty sure about a guy's ceiling, I guess. Or I guess it's harder maybe to get an understanding of a player's ceiling if he's not necessarily being tested against what might be more elite competition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now you mentioned.
I think teams are just, yeah.
I noticed that you had a bunch of videos. Of course, you and Sussman, Steve Fiorindo, I think, is out in Southern California.
It doesn't. We get so many guys. He's already gone to many high school games this year.
Yeah.
Throws in our faces constantly.
Yeah, and Moore? Is it Jeff Moore?
Jeff Reese.
Jeff Reese.
Also does a great job.
Yeah, right.
We've got a bunch of good authors.
I know that you guys all post video, and you sort of, you know, you share videos back and forth. I noticed that in your, it's sort of your channel at YouTube. You have a bunch of guys at private schools in that area. And I'm taking this is totally of selfish interest. I actually went to Milton, which is in the ISL, and I didn't necessarily know. Maybe I went at a dead time. Maybe there wasn't necessarily a lot in the way of competition at that point. We had Dan Gadzarich. He played basketball for Governor Dummer at that point. I think that was like the one true elite talent besides hockey players
because they do a heck of a job with the hockey.
Right. Yeah. They play at a high level of that. But I play baseball and I never really got the sense that I was playing against elite talent, future prospects or current amateur prospects. But it seems as though you've gotten some videos of guys in those prep schools, private schools in that area. I mean, what's the sort of talent pool there?
It's mixed. Like I said, Wiseman was a pretty crazy tools guy in athleticism. There's a few guys. Tyler Beattie, the Jays first-rounder who didn't sign from 2 years ago.
Okay.
Also same league, I believe, right, ISL?
Sure. What school was he at?
He was Lawrence Academy. It's up in the north part of the state.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Lawrence. Yep. Lawrence. I don't know if it's necessarily an ISL, but there's also the kind of larger private thing.
Similar league.
Right. Yeah.
He was pretty fantastic as well. And Connecticut's done a great job with kids recently too. A lot of them went to college, but there's been a whole lot of major leaguers out of Connecticut the last 5-6 years.
Do you think that I don't know what the connection would be, but I do know that UConn has focused more on baseball, and of course they've produced I think one team had both Mike Old and George Springer, isn't that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So
yeah,
this is Mike Old.
Yeah.
Mike Old, of course, the now Texas Rangers prospect, yep. whose name is now attached to Jurickson and Profar's because they're both blocked by very good major leaguers. And then, of course, George Springer, who is a very toolsy guy who's in the Astros system.
You don't see college players with those kind of tools very often. He really exploded. He was actually not really on my radar, too, the first time I went to see Olt, and he hit, I think, two home runs. And it really, really impressed me. And Matt Barnes of the Red Sox also on those teams. And Nick Ahmed, who just got traded to Arizona in the Upton deal. Another good player.
They were all on that Connecticut team?
Yes, they were.
Oh, my God. That's a strong team.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's a very strong
team. Three top 100 guys.
Now, do you think at some level that the game flourishing at the collegiate level would influence amateur talent, or is that just, or I mean, is that too hard to say?
I mean, I actually attribute it, if you look at this generation, I think this is the group of kids who would have been pretty young when the Red Sox and Yankees were really going at it there for a while. And I wonder how much that had an effect. They always talk about how kids in Boston started playing hockey when Bobby Orr had those great years. And I kind of think the 2003-2004 Red Sox-Yankees battles may have had some influence, at least, in turning kids to baseball.
Right, or, yeah, focusing on it. That's an interesting point, actually. That's a very interesting point. How the professional game, can influence the amateur one. And I mean, whether that's the case or not, it does seem as though, as you mentioned, and I hadn't realized about Barnes or Ahmed, how it might influence the region's production of talent.
I mean, they do a great job, too. You get a lot of credit to the coaching staffs because Springer and Barnes were both, you know, just local kids. They didn't go to, like, Florida for them. They're just talents that – they're talented players. They obviously have a lot of tools, a lot of ability, but they really developed them, did a great job doing it.
Now, so you say that this is sort of your spring season, right, is looking at some prep school guys, prep guys, mm-hmm. Going to the colleges that are more or less within the area. Now, what's the – you say that it's kind of divided into seasons. What's the next season? When does that begin, and who are you seeing then?
Well, right after the draft. I do the preps first. There is minor leagues going on, but I try to get more amateurs in early to get pre-draft stuff done. Because we had a lot of interest come draft time, obviously. Once that ends, about the week after, the CAPE starts up, the NECBL, and it's not long. I think it's a couple more weeks until the New York Penn League starts up, which is a short season A-ball where college draftees tend to go.
Right. And we should say NECBL, that's the New England Collegiate Baseball League?
Yes. There's also the Futures League around, too, which I haven't really got around to, but it's not really not bad quality either.
Okay. And so you said right about the – this is right after the draft, so we're talking June now.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, of course, I mean, the CAPE League is awesome. How do you go about covering the CAPE League? Because, you know, there in Cranston, you're not like
it's a hike.
Right, yeah. So for a weekend trip – but I do know that there's this – There's one Cape League team that's more westerly than all the others.
There is. Wareham is on this side of the bridge, which makes it nice and easy. I don't have to quite get in as much traffic. Either way, it's – I think it's only about 45-50 minutes to Wareham from me. Other than that, it's probably like an hour – 10, now 15 plus, and most of the sites are more like an hour and a half.
Right. Well,
so
I know.
Not really that bad.
Yeah. Yeah, this past summer I went to an Orleans Firebirds.
Oh, did you? Yep.
Firebirds game, and I think that might be the because I was in Wellfleet, which is way out. I mean, it's almost up to Provincetown,
yep.
Out in the sort of the arm of the Cape, and so that would be quite a hike for you.
Yeah. Chatham's the farthest site, down the other end,
right.
The south side.
Right.
All the way at the bottom.
Right.
But all pretty well mashed together there. I try to catch two games every time I go, do an early game and like a late game, cut out a little early.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's smart. And so for you, now when you're going to cover a Cape League game, what is your sort of process there in terms of time and setting up? What are you doing there?
Well, I usually get there probably 2.5 hours early. I like to film batting practice. So I have two cameras. I set them up on one on each baseline so I can get lefties and righties without moving around. And I get up there, set up early, and then, you know, settle in for the game afterwards.
And then are you chummy? I mean, what sort of scouting, population is this bringing out? Can it be – is it very busy?
Pretty busy, yeah.
Yeah.
Depends. There's a rhythm to it. Sometime in July, the scouting directors, et cetera, come out. But early on, they generally assign amateur guys who were doing high school and college in the spring. They assign those guys to, like, cover the Cape, like, two teams for a week.
Okay, so you say there's sort of a rhythm to it. You kind of know who's going to be there or when. Or...
Yeah, I mean, the activity picks up later on. Especially a lot of the, excuse me, it coincides with the College World Series. They overlap. So some of the elite talent will arrive at the Cape or get there late. So most of the guys like to, the bigger talent evaluators wait a while to come down.
Okay, yeah, I think this happened. So I, of course, I live in Madison, and we have the Northwoods League here, which is another college woodbat league.
Yeah, I mean, it gets great reviews from players. There's a lot to see out there, too.
Yeah, it's nice, and the facility, like I know the facility in Madison is fantastic. It's like a real minor league stadium. But I believe we had out here, it would have been a catcher from University of Florida.
Mike Zunino?
Not Zunino, no. Or maybe like like the backup.
Oh, you're talking this year?
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Would have been their backup. But he was here, but he got here late, though, is the point. Because they were going to. We also maybe Derek Fisher, an outfielder.
Yeah, I think he's the top player in that league, or at least he was considered the top player last year.
Yeah, right. So Derek Fisher was an outfielder at UVA now, I think, sophomore there. He showed up late. Same idea.
If you look back 2 years ago, a lot of the top guys from the Cape list this year, like the top Cape players, Phil Irvin, et cetera, they were all, Jacob Nay out of Coastal Carolina, were all in the Northwoods League the year before.
Yeah, it seems actually to be to have become like that, to become sort of a feeder for the Cape League. Sort of the guys who distinguish themselves in the Northwoods League will end up the next year out there, which is cool. It's we got a nice talent in here. So all right, so you're looking for guys on the Cape League. You say simultaneous to this, maybe you're doing some minor league stuff as well.
Yeah, I mean I covered Double A Eastern League. Try to get to New Hampshire and New Britain. It's the Blue Jays and Twins. And then the New York Penn League is around, too. The Connecticut Tigers is their short season affiliate over there.
And how far how far is Connecticut Tigers from you? What town is that?
That's close. That's Norwich. That's probably like 45.
Oh, that's not bad.
40 minutes. Yeah, it's not bad at all.
Yeah. And then, well, of course, you're very close to Pawtucket, but I wonder how useful that is.
It depends on the year.
Yeah.
Depends on the year. I went out there probably three times. Yeah, I mean, it's like 15 minutes for me. I think I went three or four times this year. And it depends. If a good pitcher comes around, I'll take a look. But, you know, I almost always better off going to the Cape or something, you know.
Now, it seems like one of the services you guys provide in which makes sense for prospect analysts generally is you're providing video and looks on players for whom that sort of thing would not be readily available.
Right. We get very excited to catch guys who there's nothing on out there.
Right. Well, and I know that, I talk with Mike Newman quite a bit, and I know that he gets – I think he uses that word, gets, as like a noun. Like he has a good get. Like he'll drive somewhere, and I think he was able to see Mike Zunino last year, for example. Or,
I think so.
You know, maybe it's a pitcher, or maybe sometimes you think a guy is going to play, and then he ends up not playing, and that's – I don't know. It's the opposite of a get. It's a loss, maybe. I don't know what it is. It's the opposite of a gain. But do you have the same sort of relationship with it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I spend so many hours. We all do on the site looking at schedules, trying to figure out where to go, and it's so difficult to plot ahead of time, just because you don't. For pitchers, it's so hard to find out when they're pitching, especially high school and college. Make a lot of calls, make a lot of emails, and. With the Cape, it's even worse because they don't post the probables till like a day before, maybe 2 days before. Very, very tough to find out where you want to be.
So now, in terms of the season, so you've brought us through June. I assume that the Cape League ends what August, mid August, sometime.
Yeah, I think right around there, maybe a little earlier. I think maybe first, second week, something like that.
So the Cape League ends, the minors leagues end, and then is there kind of once all that happened, is this sort of a hibernation for you then?
Yeah, definitely. September into October, I kind of take it a little easy, but then we have to start on prospect list season and getting all stuff together for the year. Well, I do Cape wrap up things like that, but there's definitely a lull at that point.
And now, just in terms of I know you. You've nearly fulfilled your obligation to Fangraphs Audio, so something about which you'd be excited. But I'm curious: is maybe two or three names about which you are particularly excited this year, players on either the prep or collegiate level, who you think you'll be able to see, who you have plans to see?
Well, the most exciting name I think coming around is Carlos Rodon. Not even sure how you say it.
I think it is Rodon, yeah, from NC
State.
Pretty
sure. from NC State. He's almost, I mean, a long way to go, but he's projected pretty easily to go one overall in 2014, next year. And he's supposed to be the real deal. Very, very talented pitcher.
And where
he's coming up to Boston College.
Oh, okay, great. Oh, right, because Boston's the ACC.
Yep.
Okay, all right. So when will Rodon be there?
I think it's April. I think it's the second week of April. Not sure what the date is. Something like the 14th or something like that.
Now, Rodon, of course, Rodon's going to be starting today. We're talking on Friday. He had his first start of the year last week.
Not so great.
Yeah, right. So I was able to watch that, and I saw a great slider, but his fastball was just like barely sitting at 90, where I'd heard maybe mid-90s. Of course, it's early on in the season.
Very, very early.
Right, so I'm curious as to how you approach how you sort of integrate that, start that knowledge into your body of information about Rodon.
Well, something to always bear in mind. April, we should be in better shape. Right now, you're talking, I don't know if you've ever seen, but they can chart velocity, average velocity. I think it's been on Fangraphs about by month for major league pitchers, and April is usually like 3 miles per hour below average. Everybody starts off slow like that until you really get, you know, stretched out.
Right, and I believe that was also the case perhaps for, you mentioned the name Sean Manaea. Manaea absolutely, from Indiana State, was absolutely excellent last year on the Cape.
And saw him a couple times. He's really filthy.
Right, he was touching 97, wasn't he?
Well, here's the thing on that. Everyone's been pumping that up, and I have full confidence he eventually will. But for the most part, he touched like 96 in the first and then dropped down to the 90, 92 range.
He's got
some mechanical things to iron out that I think everyone projects him to eventually be throwing a little bit harder.
Okay, so because I know that he pitched just last week, was not bad in his start for Indiana State this past week, but was there was some sense of disappointment. But you think that maybe he was actually perhaps closer to what he was in the Cape, and that maybe some of those numbers attached to him were a little optimistic in terms of velocity.
Yeah. I saw him twice last summer, and he was mostly 90, 92, up to 93. The first inning, he'll bump it up a little more. Then he settled down. But a couple of others saw him as well, and they had the same reports and the same observations, something like that. But, I mean, you're looking back, it's like evaluating a high school kid in their junior season when we look at the Cape, you know?
You have to sort of adjust relative.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
So, obviously there's still much to be written this spring about who will go where. Everything's still up in the air. But he's a very talented player. Change up is absolutely ridiculous. Lots and lots of swings and misses, all his pitches.
That's exciting. Yeah, I mean, the numbers suggest that he was doing something right. He was not maybe – he was more than a one-trick pony, I guess, so far as that's concerned. Now, you gave us Rodon, who you're going to be able to see. Is there anyone at the prep level
I'm going to take a drive out to New York. Right outside of New York City, there's a prep left-handed pitcher, Robert Kaminsky, who's supposed to be excellent. A little bit undersized, but good arm strength. Supposed to have a great changeup. Haven't seen him yet, but very excited to.
Now, when you're planning a trip, are you more willing to make a trip for a starting pitcher than you might be for a position player, just knowing that you'll get more in the way of looks?
In a vacuum, yes. It depends on who it is. Kaminsky's projected as a first rounder, either way, so it's an obvious choice that I want to get out there. there's a lot of moving pieces trying to put together schedule. I don't know how to answer that. It's easier to do like an outfielder because you know they'll be playing every day, at least, you know.
Right.
Like right now, I can't say when Kaminsky's going to start.
Right. You just have to kind of be aware, I guess, of
it. Sort of, yeah, it's a week of sort right. of planning.
Well, that's great. Hey, listen, Al, I really appreciate it. I've always sort of been curious as to, you know, I mean, I think it's pretty clear how scouting works, or it's more clear how scouting works, you know, even on the prep level in, you know, Southern California, Texas, Florida. I think, you know, you have a lot of talent there, but, you know, obviously there are baseball players in the Northeast too. It's kind of interesting to hear how you go about your business trying to get coverage up there.
The Northeast area guys, like the amateur guys, have a very tough jobs most of the time. Their area is usually at least New England.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them have New York and New England, or the city and New England, or upstate New England. And there's some who have, like, Pennsylvania, New York, New England, and Canada.
That's a lot of space.
Yeah. Quite a lot to cover.
Right, because I guess, I mean, if you're looking at per capita, there are probably fewer prospects per capita, right? Is that the idea?
There are. There are, yeah. And there's lots more who you think probably should just go to college in terms of high school kids, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, cool. Hey, well, thank you so much, Al.
Hey, thanks for having me, Carl.
All right, why don't you stick around? Yeah, stick around for a second. That's Al Scarupa, the Al Scarupa. Coming to us from Cranston, Rhode Island. I'm Carson Sestouli. This has been FanGraphs Audio.